Yes, everybody. This is the DFS Army Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Flex Matt, joined again my guy, my road dog, Brandon Adam. Brandon Adam, how are you doing today, brother?
Oh, man, so fired up, so close to the season. We are this close. We just need all of our flag plants to stay healthy, and we're going to be excited for the new season. Not that many crazy injuries so far. I'm excited. That's good.
Yeah, no, that's actually great. That's a great take. There really hasn't been any solid injuries near the top, near the bottom. But as Shane would always say, let's not bury the lead. DFS Army, fellas, they will give you league-winning advice, but it's not really league-winning. That's what we do. We do the league-winning side. But the geek and all the team over at DFS Army, they do the daily side. They win the $1 million. This year, they won the PGA Championship $1 million. Last year, won piece of the Millie Maker. You now can save 25% off of VIP Core 4 Lite or NFL only membership with the code NFL2023 right now. The geek is doing some incredible, incredible work. And I'm telling you what, DFS Army will change your life. There are average Joes getting returns on absolutely everything. All you have to do is follow along. The DFS Dominator, UFC is a big one. If you're out there as a degenerate just looking to bet anything on the line, you just come right over to DFS Army. There's a team of coaches. They welcome you in right away, and you start winning money, life-changing money. But, Brandon Adam, we are the fantasy football side of this, outside of the daily football, daily fantasy football content. And this week we are talking about sure bets for the 2023 NFL season, more on the redraft side, maybe some of the best ball side. We're kind of closing the best ball door, opening the redraft door. I have seen, I've got a group chat going with a lot of leagues that this year seems to be a year that a lot of people are gone, you know, near the end of fantasy football draft season. So I'm getting into a league here just in about a week's time. And that's how fast some of this just creeps up on you. But Brandon Adam, I'm going to let you go ahead and start. I know our podcasts are furious. We're furious. The fire and the flames. That's what comes out of what we do here. But we got Brandon McBroom with – thank you for the comments, guys. Appreciate it because I'm very heavy on the comments because he knows somebody that would bet on Burmese soccer if there was such a thing. And there probably is. We could find it for you. We can actually hire a team of data analysts for some Burmese soccer if there was ever a thing. So, but this year, 2023, fantasy football, sure bets. Brandon Adams, start it off.
I think we're going to be going a little bit by round here. My first round pick that I am smashing at the end of each round one is Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god himself. This offense is set to explode with the addition of Jahmyr Gibbs into the offense and the suspension coming once it's waved off with Jameson Williams as well. Jared Goff is going to be slinging the rock. He'll be a top 12 quarterback this year. Book that as well. The cool thing about Amon-Ra St. Brown is that, yes, he does get 146. He has the volume. He's number eight in the league with volume for targets. I had 146. And the value that you are going to be able to get from him is going to be the touchdowns. Last year, he only got six touchdowns, and that was good for 20th out of wide receivers. And that is just not good enough for his production. His ceiling could be double if he gets into the double digits like he should with the amount of opportunity that he has. He can push himself right into the top three wide receivers with ease, to be honest with you. He's all of his advanced analytics are fantastic. Yards per route run is 2.57. That's ninth in the league. Target accuracy, Jared Goff he's at number nine with all of his target accuracy, which is great. Meaning the offense is clicking. There's going to be even more room that's going to happen because of all the new additions, and the new offense is going to be in its third year with the coaching staff there. So I'm all in on Amon-Ra. He is going to smash. He's going to get 150 targets. And my favorite spot in the draft is the end, is 10, 11, 12. Those are the picks that I love getting. And I don't care if you get, if you want to pull the trigger on Amon-Ra at 10, you can do it as high as 10 if you want. It's just up to you. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is definitely a smash for me and is definitely a must-have on all my drafts if possible.
I'll tell you what, our listeners here are smart. They really are. They come from the DFS Army Discord. You guys can privately message us for the Discord. They come from us, viewership from us. But Brendan McBroom says he was so unlucky last year when it came to touchdowns.
Yep.
Definitely could see him getting more than 6 touchdowns. It's funny that he said that because Shane's on the backside of this, yep, telling me that his Amon-Ra's touchdown rate was only 5.21%, yeah, which obviously could go up. There's another easy, sure bet that potentially might be coming up here with also some huge touchdown regression in the positive side. But the thing about Amon-Ra is that we've been talking a lot about we're big Amon-Ra.
Yeah,
guys.
We are probably, yeah.
And, you know, he's not in the first round conversation right now as far as ADP. I want to say he's probably 13 or 14, somewhere,
yep,
like
he's
that.
Right there, yep.
And we have been pioneering him in the 8, 9, 10 slot. Does that seem crazy? It might seem a little crazy. Maybe not to us, but maybe to some outside. I just look at Amon-Ra as he is the perfect safe floor and safe upside combination. Yeah. And somebody that... you know, I will just say this. There's some really fantastic podcasts out there. There's some really fantastic data analytic guys out there that have been talking about. You know, what's kind of unique is we sometimes assume risk with upside. Oh, like, you know, oh, Jameson Williams, he has so much upside. Well, I think that's a little bit negative. It's not upside. It's actually risk. I mean, yes, maybe he could pop off, but the risk of him completely dudding out is also, I think, just as good as, ooh, or just as even of a bet to say that he absolutely pops off as he absolutely does nothing. Amon-Ra is not that. I mean, Amon-Ra's upside is number one wide receiver in the entire, yeah, league. And there's no risk in saying that, because if he falls to wide receiver 6 on the year, you're very happy with that. Mm-hmm. Having somebody you draft at 1 overall like Justin Jefferson, there's not a lot of risk there. But with somebody like Christian McCaffrey, who has some injury concerns, has some split backfield concerns, there might be some risks there. Mm-hmm. I look at Bijan Robinson, who has been talked about going in the top 6, top 7, top 8, where I just look at, well, Bijan Robinson or Amon-Ra.
Give me a break.
Yeah, I can't understand or fathom. And that's what happens here in the war rooms of DFS Army, our group chat. That's us, me, mm-hmm, you, Mike, and Shane. And we're just thinking, you know what? There's absolutely no way that I'm drafting Bijan over Amon-Ra.
Mike might, but I sure as hell.
Okay.
I've officially moved AJ Brown down in the first round, and I'm moving Amon-Ra up to where, yes, AJ Brown was. And I am so happy I did that, because the target there's so much risk with AJ with the touchdowns that nobody really talks about too much about. You have with us in the chat a little bit. You kind of like Devontae Smith. You kind of like that end of the stack with the Eagles. And I dove a little bit deeper into it, and I'm starting to agree a little bit. So Amon-Ra is Cooper Kupp, and this is his major, major breakout where he has number one overall wide receiver potential. And I just don't see how he can't get the – I don't see how he finishes outside the top 5 wide receivers. I just don't see it. Like,
yeah,
not to mention,
again, it's a sure bet. Yeah. I mean, whether or not he doesn't finish inside the top 5, he's going to be worth where you drafted, no matter where you can get. And I think that I'm not trying to play hot potato with the potential of losing out on Amon-Ra. Where I okay, let's talk about some true upside with a tad bit of risk. That's Garrett Wilson. Okay. Yeah. We love Garrett Wilson. We love Amon-Ra, but when you talk about the risk reward on the upside side of Amon-Ra, he's definitely a significant step ahead of Garrett Wilson. You can see that Garrett Wilson's ADP is now starting to fall because of that. Yeah. But we're going to go ahead and try our best to get Amon-Ra in the 8-9 slot, which is where we want him, a little bit ahead of ADP, and then try to catch the backside of that ADP risk drop with Garrett Wilson, which is a great 1-2 start. Boom! Yes!
Yes, that's, I'm in. I'm all in on that. I've been smashing that strategy for the whole, for probably about a month and a half on Underdog. You've been seeing all the drafts I've been doing, and Amon-Ra and Garrett Wilson on the back end is –
that's a strategy cultivated by you and I too. We totally lead that charge there. That's great. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and start it. And I listened to a podcast with Scott Barrett, and he's amazing. I think he just came out with an article. Please go over and purchase it. It's a fantastic, fantastic article. Scott Barrett's known for this article every year, but he talks about how when you have the number one overall fantasy football player, you can have the best player or, you know, somewhere in that top five, a league winner, and you can have the worst player, maybe somebody off of waivers or something. And that combination is going to mean a lot more to your fantasy football team and the league winning upside than to have somebody in the RB, you know, let's say it's a QB 11, an RB 7, an RB 9, a wide receiver 11, a tight end 7. Like you would think with a team of that kind of mid range, mid to end of the ones, having a bunch of those guys is going to mean a lot for your fantasy team. But inherently, it doesn't actually mean that. When you have a league winner on your team, you can have a combo of Jags, a combo of wide receiver 20s on your team and have a much better statistically, much better chance of winning. And so he had theorized that McCaffrey, you know, was that guy. A couple years ago, if you had McCaffrey on your team, you had a 73% chance of winning the league, which with just one guy and somebody off the waiver. I mean, that's how special some of these guys can be. So he had theorized about going the hero RB approach. It's just such a great bet to make. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that means, yes, maybe funneling out a little bit of the noise, because the noise is wide receiver heavy this year. I think it's pretty easy to say that. Now, if you're getting near the end of the first round, like we're talking about here, 9, 10, 11, there's no chance of getting two of your league-winning running backs. There's just no chance. Nope. But with that being said, the timeshare with Christian McCaffrey, the injury concern with Christian McCaffrey has really put him off of my list there. And I think the biggest sure bet that you can make at the beginning of your rounds, beginning of your draft, is Austin Eckler. Yes, he is a little bit older. And that is somewhat of a concern. But if you talk about league winning upside, which he has it, you talk about replacement value at the running back position, which if you're not getting one of these top guys, you might as well grab 7 or 8 of the middle tier guys, because they're not going to matter like the top guy is going to matter. But Austin Eckler has the ability to be the number one overall fantasy football player outside of a quarterback in the offense where he has absolutely no target competition at running back. He's proven it before, and he doesn't tank your team which we see people do a lot, especially in the first round, i.e. Bijan Robinson this year, could absolutely tank your team, okay? Also, that's where the precipitous fall of Saquon Barkley from last year, right? Drafting him in the first round tanks your wide receiver team, or 2 years ago, excuse me, draft him in the first round, it tanks your team, right? So why not go for the sure bet that you know exactly what his upside is? There's zero risk to him at all. Zero competition for targets. High-powered offense. Justin Herbert looks to take another step forward, which he already was throwing bombs, right? He feeds his running back. It's proven. I just think there's no bigger sure bet than Austin Eckler in the first round, Brandon.
I don't hate it. Like, I don't hate it at all. I just feel they're – you're right. I just feel like they are trying to push the ball down the field a little bit. So I think they understand that Austin Eckler is an undersized back that's a little bit older that could possibly – you know, I don't think he's going to not be an RB. He'll never drop out of the top five.
Win your fantasy league easily, yes. Easily win your fantasy league. I mean, it's not even, you can make a lot of bad picks in the first round.
Sure.
But there are a few ones out there that are absolutely sure bets. Brandon, your number two sure bet on the season. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I'm going to go out to that, to the team out in Cincinnati. There's this man out there that's all alone. That is going to be owning all of the work. His name is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon last year sported a target share in the receiving game of 13.9%, and that was seventh in the league. And guess what? Samaje Perine is gone. Samaje Perine is in Denver. Samaje Perine had 58 targets last year. And where are those targets going to go? Who's going to take on those targets for the running back position? And I feel like there is going to be a bump for Joe Mixon, even into he could be probably top three in target share with the passing pass work coming his way with the absence of Samaje Perine. And even though he wasn't as efficient as he's been in the past, he was a little nicked up late in the season, as he always is. But him restructuring his contract, him staying in Cincinnati in a top five overall offense, overall, he is going to be in all of the weighted opportunities. He's never coming off the field. Like, I just don't see, unless they go and sign a Lenny Fournette, which is possible. I think that is the only guy out there that I think could actually take away some work from him. Maybe Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is that kind of archetype that Joe Mixon is, similar type of runner. But nobody's there. There has been no media about a possibility of a signing in the position. So right now, Joe Mixon is a screaming deal. He's going at RB15 on Underdog right now. I don't see how he is not an RB1 and isn't pushing for top five if all is status quo right now and stays the same. I just don't see, even with the inefficiency, you know, that he was showing a little bit last year compared to years past, I just feel like all that is going to be outweighed with the pass work that he's going to get another bump. You can see him going from 13.9% and jumping up into that 16-17% and see what Saquon Barkley was seeing last year. I could totally see that kind of thing. And you're getting him in the fourth, fifth rounds of drafts right now. I just don't understand why Joe Mixon is going where he's going. I'm all in on Joe Mixon this year.
Yeah, you know, Brandon McBroom made that comment. We put it up, but we'll read it out for the audio listeners. Your first three picks, very well, maybe Amon-Ra, Garrett Wilson, and Joe Mixon. You've seen Joe Mixon go in the third round.
Yes.
Now, that's great, and I have no issue with that, but his ADP on Underdog is about 43, which mm-hmm. is you probably could get him a little bit later than that, which is great.
Good.
Shane on the backside said Perine was a beast in the pass pro game. Chase Brown's obviously a rookie. Yeah. Now he's not necessarily a heavily undersized rookie. I mean, Chase Brown's you know, not the smallest guy in the world.
Yeah, I think he's like 215, right? Like,
he's just not small. I mean, he's not known for being absolutely tiny dude out there. So can he fill that Perine role? Sure. But Perine is getting some age on him now. He's been in the league for a little while. He kind of understands the nuances. Plus, Perine's going to get a shot. Nobody enjoys drafting players coming off an injury. So Perine, I think, is a really sneaky draft pick this year in fantasy football. But when you take Perine out of that system, you're 100% right. Now, a stat that I saw, which was pretty incredible, and it's absolutely true. When 5'10", 209 Chase Brown. So yeah, he's right there. He's perfect. So when Three players were on the field. Mixon, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase were on the field. Mixon out-targeted T. Higgins while all three of them were on the field last year. That's a huge deal. That just means one, they roll the coverage to T. Higgins when they're out there. So it just opens up the opportunities for Mixon. And those are easy dump-off targets. Okay. I love A-Chain this year. Now, it's kind of tough to say stuff like that because I was like not in on drafting him in Dynasty. Well, sure. I mean, when you have to own him forever and you have to take a bet on whether Yes, in redraft, it's way different. Way different. A-Chain could be there as an outlet. The wide receiver core in Miami is going to smash. So it's a very similar situation. You have T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. When all three of them are on the field, you're going to have to – you can't let T. Higgins behind you. You can't let Ja'Marr Chase behind you. So it's going to open up that intermediate field with Joe Mixon. We love Joe Mixon. And my next guy is another running back. Seems like pretty easy to talk about the RBs here because, again, I look at replacement value. If you don't draft this guy, then you're going hunting for dead zone running backs. And that's how I feel. But my number two guy is Tony Pollard. Okay.
There you go. Smash.
I do not like the idea of going a RB start. I really don't like that. But Eckler is somewhere in the 7-6-7 range, which means coming back into that, what would that have to be? So that would be 6-12-18 range. Mm-hmm. It is Tony Pollard. So you're having to hope that Jalen Waddle doesn't get drafted a little bit up. And then you have Chris Olave and potentially Devontae Smith right there. So it's pretty tough for me to go away from Pollard. I would have to buy completely in on Chris Olave, which I'm not perfectly saying. I mean, Olave isn't a sure bet that any of us created here. Okay, so that there has to be a reason for that. Brand new QB, stuff like that. But you know what? The very same system with no competition for targets is Tony Pollard. I don't like going RB, but Tony Pollard is a hybrid RB. He's not there specifically because he just runs the ball in first and second down. He's not Kenneth Walker where you're afraid that he is going to be taken off the field on third down. If anything, because you have the depleted targets at tight end where you're very hopeful that Jake Ferguson or anybody else is there to grab those targets. I think that there's going to be a target uptick for Pollard in his receiving opportunity. And that's where he was a little bit slighted last year. If you look at Tony Pollard's stats from last year, his targets in the receiving game, he had only had 55 targets. 39 receptions, but the year before he had 46 targets with 39 receptions. So can he get a lot more option to become more valuable in the receiving game? Yes. I really think so. Clipboard hates it. He says Olave over Pollard every day and twice on Sunday. And I would really disagree with that statement pretty heavily. I'm not saying that Olave can't do for your fantasy team a lot better, but I would say if you went wide receiver to start, if you went Amon-Ra and a lot of the other options just fell down to you in a wrong way, your hero RB being Pollard. And I love that too. We here at DFS Army really love the start of Amon-Ra, Garrett Wilson. We really love that. And I'm trying to pioneer for that, but I'm also potentially really liking my teams going with the Pollard Eckler hero stack and then just smashing wide receiver and tight end later in the drafts. But what do you feel about Pollard? I feel like there's not a better sure bet to make at the running back position. Another reason also, let me tell you these guys behind Pollard that you could draft later if you didn't get Pollard. Mm-hmm. And you stop me where you absolutely believe there's a sure bet. Okay, are you ready for this? Derrick Henry, sure bet, yes or no? Just black and white, sure bet, yes or no? Derrick Henry.
No.
No. Jonathan Taylor.
No.
No. Ramondre Stevenson.
I like him.
You like him, but he's not a sure bet.
He's not a sure bet.
Josh Jacobs.
No.
Breece Hall.
No.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
No.
Najee Harris.
No.
Joe Mixon is where you said you have one. So, okay. If you had to be looking at RB in that range of guys, you have a bunch of guys that you're not sure of.
Mm-hmm.
Pollard, absolutely sure of where he's going to be this year. Now, does he have league winning upside? Maybe. We don't know what his target additions are with the depleted targets left at tight end, where there was a lot of them last year. Okay. I think Tony Pollard's going to surge. I think that his targets can grow into that 75-80 range, which is exactly where Saquon was last year. Yes. If you have that target upside that Saquon has with an easy 1,000-yard rush, first, second down opportunities, not leaving the field and the third down, I think Tony Pollard's as sure of a bet as you get this year.
I can't argue against Pollard. Pollard has so much upside, and everybody that watched Dallas any game with the Dallas Cowboys last year was screaming, give it to Pollard more. like just do it already. And if they would have done that earlier in the season, I think that would have been a big deal for that offense to keep cooking. But, you know, with Kellen Moore gone, I don't, you know, let's see what that is. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Pollard. I've been on his bandwagon for a while now. I've owned him in Dynasty all over the place. I'm excited to see him unleashed fully. It's going to be.
I didn't want to draft Pollard last year because you had the idea that Zeke was still around and that obviously they were going to continue to give early down work to Zeke. Now, if they bring Zeke back, which I think actually is the best move for the Cowboys, because they completely know now that they can just fucking run Zeke into the brick walls if they need to, just to give Paul versus, okay, I guess we have to give Zeke some early down work. You know, I just think, there you go. Brandon McBroom, Pollard and Bijan Robinson are pretty close in size. I agree. I think Pollard is looked at as an undersized running back,
which
he's not really. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say is Pollard has everything that you would love in a situation this year of guaranteed floor with upside, league winning upside. Brandon, who's your next guy? Sure bets, fantasy football sure bets. 2023.
So I am going to our favorite team in this league, and it's the Seattle Seahawks. I am the biggest value on the board at the QB position is Geno Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Your QB5 for last year, Geno Smith is going outside the top 12 right now, and that's just atrocious. I don't see how he could end up going out, end up not being a QB1 this year. Last year, his pass attempts, 572, that's ninth in the league. Deep ball attempts, eighth in the league with 67. Red zone attempts, 10th in the league, 77 last year. Team pass plays last year per game, 33.8, and that was 14th in the league. Everybody thinks run with Seattle, right? No, last year they passed a little bit with Geno Smith, and that was with this. Think about it this way. Geno Smith with Pete Carroll, I guarantee you they were talking early in the season. They're saying, let's just get this guy going. Let's just get easy completions. But if you look at what he did last year, deep ball attempts, 66. Those aren't easy. So those are all going, you know, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. And now they just brought in our child, JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. And that is a massive, massive upgrade to that wide receiver room. And you're going to see that it's going to change the whole dynamic of how that offense is going to be looked at. Everybody's going to be getting man coverage all over the place. You're going to see more touchdowns from Geno Smith because of the JSN addition. I just see this offense really jumping into the top 8 passing offenses in the league this year with that addition. It's just Geno Smith is going to get the car is full. The keys are his now. 100%. There is no way that they are going to, you know, pull back the reins on Geno Smith this year with that new addition and with the trio of wide receivers and with Zach Charbonnet coming out of the backfield, catching the passes. We've been talking about it nonstop in our league chat about our chat with Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet. What is going to be the roles between those two? And we can just easily, we can say, you know, Zach Charbonnet is going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. So I am totally fine with that. The cool thing is that with the passing productivity of Geno Smith is that he was, dude, he was making some ridiculous throws last year. He was number one with 46 danger plays, meaning these plays are very, you know, small window throws. I mean, he is fitting it everywhere.
He was number one in the league with those throws,
and he could, and it could have been bad, but it was very good with what he was doing last year. Passing TDs, he was fourth in the league with 30. I think he jumps up into that 35 range this year. I don't see how he doesn't improve with the offense that is going on in Seattle right now. His efficiency is off the charts. Yards per attempt, 7.5. Top 10, number 9 in the league. Adjusted yards per attempt, 7.1. That's 8th in the league. Air yards per attempt, 15th in the league with eight yards. I just don't see how he doesn't keep compiling these numbers and keep going, especially with the addition of JSN. What do you say?
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you too much, but I wanted to really talk about that danger plays thing.
Yep,
so
that's fine.
A lot of people are talking about that, and I love that.
Me too.
I love
yes.
That. Because, yes, you're right. So let's talk about regression, right? So everybody always wants to talk about regression to the positive side, regression to the bad side. So if you have a guy scoring 15 touchdowns last year, then it's pretty safe to say that he might regress a little, yeah. Right? So just in the opposite, we love Deontay Johnson. We both think Deontay's a sure bet this year. We didn't bring Deontay into this because it's too easy. Yeah. But he's also going to regress in the positive for touchdowns this year, but danger plays are ones that could be easily interceptable.
Sure. Okay?
Easily a play that 9 times out of 10 is probably not going to go well, but it ended up going well. Ooh. But here's the thing about danger plays. What do you want? A QB that doesn't force the ball down the field? Everybody shit on Jameis Winston, but Jameis Winston threw the ball down the field. Okay. Yep. And I love that. Now, if you can have a defense that turns around and helps you win games, then that is a great, great offense to have, to be around for fantasy football. We all love drafting Jameis Winston somewhere in the first or, you know, early second, not early second round, but as a QB1 with upside, because 50 touchdowns in a year is pretty tough to beat. Now, Jameis Winston wasn't at all accurate, not known for his accuracy, but let me tell you what, Geno Smith puts the ball on the money.
Sure does.
There is a rather incredible catch pass that you can go and watch on YouTube where he targets Tyler Lockett. Jameis Winston. But Geno Smith targeted Tyler Lockett downfield. There was 3 Saints defenders all over this ball. Mm-hmm. He placed it in the literal best spot that you can place it. There's 3 players converging around Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett gets the ball dropped literally in the absolute only place it could be.
Yeah.
Now, who makes that throw? Not Trevor Lawrence. Okay. Geno Smith makes. Yeah, not yet. But Geno Smith makes that. I don't want a QB, especially if you're Geno Smith, if you're somebody that wants to go take a team to the championship, I don't want a bunch of dump off 7 yards over the thing. Now, he does that as well, but it's okay when you mix in a lot of the deep targets, deep opportunities. When you have guys like DK Metcalf, who is known for being deep ball receivers, and you don't use them as deep ball receivers, this is something that I really, really love. About Brandon McBroom. Only garbage time QBs better than Winston was Blake Bortles. And exactly.
Like, true.
We love Blake Bortles for fantasy. And that's why I think that you're right on the money for a sure bet here, because not only do sure bets mean the guy is going to produce, but it also means that at ADP, it's hard to ignore the guy. And Geno Smith is a perfect, perfect one. Jared Goff, another perfect one.
Everybody's saying, yeah, he's throwing danger plays. But guess who does that too? Josh Allen. Josh Allen threw 40 danger plays last year. That was number 2 in the league. He threw 36 interceptable passes last year. That was number 3. That is just telling me that you're an aggressive quarterback, that you trust your wide receivers and that you're going to put the ball in an area for your wide receivers to go get it. I am all about aggressive quarterback play, especially if you're getting them outside of QB 12 and you're getting a high upside off high octane offense in the Seattle Seahawks at outside the QB 12 that finished QB 5 and just got Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Dude, smash. Like, why are we even thinking about that? Like, that is crazy to me that people would even not even be in on that. That's just,
yeah. And Charbonnet, I mean, you know, you mentioned Charbonnet, but Charbonnet is another great thing. He is a pass catching running back, or at least has the upside of being, and the Seahawks have not had a pass catching running back that as long as I can remember, it seems like, because we run the rock pretty solidly, but we haven't had guys that we can guarantee dump offs to, that we know can turn those into high value targets. Mm-hmm. Charbonnet is going to be good. I really love how he runs and catches the ball too. So you're talking about five players on the offense outside of the tight ends. Now the tight ends leave a little bit to be you know, admired there. But I want to talk about a comment Clipboard Jesus had up here, because we've been podcasting for a long time.
Oh, yes.
We've been doing this for, I want to say it's like 4 years now. And then, Brandon, you came in. You've been here for about 3 years now. But it's kind of funny because I used to be the guy that Clipboard Jesus hated to agree. And now you are the guy, Brandon. I hate to agree with Brandon, but I love it. You have now started to become the guy that people don't want to agree with, but you're right. I mean, it's hard to say. That's why sure bet is a sure bet. It's hard to disagree with it. And oh, here we go. Brandon McBroom, you're killing me, man. This guy just got my guy right here. Darren Waller is my next guy.
Boom! Perfectly. Go for it.
This is the easiest bet that you can make this year. Okay, the target competition in New York is disgusting. Okay,
it's bad,
disgusting.
Dude.
It is disgusting. Bellinger, 35 targets. Richie James, 70 targets. Okay, the highest targeted asset in the New York opportunity share was Saquon last year at like 76 targets. Darius Slayton had said, now I can understand there was an injury to Wandale. So Wandale, you know, having played the full season, but Daboll has a specific scheme that he wants to go ahead and get out there. And it seems like adding Hyatt, adding Waller is going to start to open up what Daboll really wants to do.
Yes.
It's going to open up what Daniel Jones really can be, because we know him just as a rushing QB, mainly because his supporting cast is abysmal, but they seem to be able to win games, not win divisions and not, you know, be a playoff team, but there's a lot more that goes around doing that. Wandale, Clip is saying, could be injured again, which, statistically, I mean, we have guys that are injury prone and just continue to be, and maybe that's the case. But when you talk about the number one target in the offense this year for the New York Giants football team, it is going to be Darren Waller. It's really hard to project it, though. And that's the issue, is because we haven't.
Great.
It's great because that's what leads to the ADP fall.
Thank you.
Darren Waller, sure, is actually still being drafted pretty high as far as your tight end. He's tight end five. He's being drafted as tight end five, but he's also being drafted at pick 71. So when you talk about guys, and tell me, we're gonna do the same exercise we did earlier. Stop me when you want to take this guy over Darren Waller, okay? Christian Kirk.
No.
I want Waller over Kirk. Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Oh, yeah, Waller.
I want Waller over Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah.
Marquise Brown.
Waller.
Waller. Miles Sanders.
Waller.
Mike Evans.
Waller.
Gabe Davis.
Waller. What
Michael
are we doing?
Pittman.
Waller.
Jordan Addison.
Waller.
So that's the thing is around this ADP, when you look at pass catching opportunities around the ADP that Waller's going, he easily could jump ahead of all those guys without even question. Mm-mm. And then when you really were to start to dissect where he could go above those guys, which Aaron Jones potential, Brandon Ayuk. I know we like Ayuk.
I like Ayuk, but no, like you're right. Ayuk, I would take Waller over Ayuk.
I think so too. And that's tough. DeAndre Hopkins, we don't know what he's going to be.
I'm out.
I think that where I want to draw the line is DJ Moore.
Yes.
And that's saying something. We're talking 30 round or 30 picks of ADP ahead. So a very sure bet this year, Darren Waller. A lot of people are talking about Darren Waller's tight end 3 this year, being drafted at tight end 5. Some other outlets have Darren Waller tight end 6, tight end 7 sometimes.
It's a joke.
It is a joke. It really is a joke. And I just think that there are vacated opportunities coming out of that system. Now we're adding. Go ahead.
There's only 3 tight ends going this year that are going to be absolutely funnel targets the way that Travis Kelce is going to see. Travis Kelce, Hockenson, and Waller. Andrews got way more competition going on. Zay Jones, Odell Beckham, Bateman coming back off the mend. All that. Like, I have Waller as my number 3 tight end right now, period.
I still like Hockenson at 3. But I would take both Hockenson and Waller as flex plays. So one sit, one at tight end, one at flex, because I just can't get behind Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
No.
I can't get behind Chris Godwin, Marquise Brown. I can get behind Lockett, but I can't get behind that Waller. So Brandon McBroom asked, what round do we have Waller going in? I think that by the end of it will settle that Waller will climb ADP. Mm-hmm. So I would probably say, so what is that? Pick 71. What is that though? 5?
6th round.
Sixth round. So yeah. I'd say he probably climbs into round 5. And also it just really depends on what your roster construction. If you have Kelce, then you're not drafting Waller potentially. But see, that's what I'm trying to say is if you did go Kelce early, why not smash a Waller in a flex play? Because I like the upside that Waller has is just a pure receiver in the offense, not even speaking. Yeah. And there's guys that we want to take bets on and take flyers on, but there's not guys like Waller that are going to eat up 100 targets, in my opinion, where they're going to be high value targets, red zone opportunities.
If he doesn't get 140 targets this year, I'd be shocked.
140 is a lot.
And he's going to get it. There is nobody else. It is to the point at training camp where they are taking Waller out of the offense because Daniel Jones is only throwing to Waller when he's practicing in the drills. They are literally making Daniel Jones throw to the wide receivers because it is just becoming routine with him and Waller. He is forcing the ball to Waller because he is obsessed. So I'm telling you, there are 3 tight ends that are the trio is going to be those 3, the Hockenson, Kelce, and Waller. And if you draft Pitts over Waller, you're a chump. Like that's just fact. Like you just don't understand fantasy football if that's what you're doing. So Waller, it only comes down to health with Waller. His talent is undeniable. And his role is going to be undeniable in Giants land. 125 targets with ease. The ceiling could be 140. We don't know what his ceiling is going to be because he's the only one there. I'm telling you. He is going to get
Brandon McBroom. Brandon McBroom said that Hockenson is bad after the catch. I don't really care too much about my tight ends being good after the catch because their targets are high valued.
Yeah. The
number one thing that really changes fantasy assets from being elite to just good is touchdown upside. Touchdowns are really what actually moves the needle.
The tight end.
Now, Brandon McBroom also said that's why the Lions got rid of him and drafted Laporta. I can understand that. I mean,
they didn't want to pay Hawk. That's why they got rid of him.
There's a lot more that goes into that, but that's also why you can't be too high on Laporta. maybe for a little while is because next if Hawkinson year. Is this good and was not able to get out of that system being a high valued asset, then I can't look at a guy like Sam Laporta and say that he's going to end up being a high value asset. But I also can think that they want to run their offense a little bit faster. And, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, Laporta, those are two move pieces that I think maybe can accelerate the offense and do a little bit different there. Sucks to see that Jameson Williams is out. So, Brendan, you got one more. I got one more.
Yeah, man. My next one's deeper down the board here. It's a guy that I can't stop drafting. Last year, I'm going out to Denver with my guy, Greg Dulcich. The tight end position is starving for more stars, and this guy is one of them. In 50% of his starts, he was a top 10 tight end last year, and that was with him not even seeing, he wasn't even top 10 in snap share. He was only on the field 75.2% of the time. That was 15th for tight ends. His targets were 55. That was 26th. So this guy is producing top 10 without the targets, meaning he's super efficient. He gets it done when he does get the rock. His deep ball targets, though. He had 12 deep ball targets last year. That was good for third for the tight end position. That is awesome. His average ADOT, 10.6, number three for the position. Air yard share, 18.6%. That was seventh for the position. So he has all the stuff that you're looking for, and he did it as a rookie. Everybody is looking this last draft class, we had a bunch of great tight end prospects coming out, right? Everybody was talking about Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, Mayer out in Las Vegas. Nobody was talking about Greg Dulcich, man. And now you got Sean Payton, the godfather that created Jimmy Graham, and he's got himself a Greg Dulcich. And I just feel that he is going to get super creative with Greg Dulcich, and Greg Dulcich is going to finish a top 8 tight end with ease this year. What do you say, Matt?
I like it. I want to go back to Brandon McBroom's comment real quick before I comment on what you said. He said he doesn't like rookie tight ends. That's why I'm not a fan of Kincaid this year. What do you think? I want to comment on that real quick. I actually love Kincaid. The problem is I just don't think that he is going to be fantasy relevant this year, but he is going to have pops, like weekly pops that I think are going to shoot him up in a top 8 fantasy next year. But that's exactly what Dawson Knox had, right? So like a couple years ago, Dawson Knox had some weeks where you're like, okay, screw it, this year we're drafting him top 8, and then last year he dudded out.
Bro, he destroyed my rosters last year.
So it's tough, but I think Dawson Knox is getting paid, and he's going to be there. So it's tough. I don't think I'm drafting Kincaid this year, but I'm not out.
And guess
on
who's going behind Kincaid in drafts right now? Dulcich. And when he is the guy in Denver, like for that position. So
let me comment on Dulcich. I heard a very awesome take on things with the Broncos. Mm-hmm. It is not Jerry Jeudy. It is not Dulcich. It is not Javonte. It is not Sutton. It is not Mims and their talent that is going to make or break their fantasy relevance. It is purely if Russell Wilson is washed or not.
Correct.
I think Russell is washed. So I am out on – here's the thing. I love Russ. And Brandon, I'm a Seahawks guy from Seattle. Okay, I'm from here. We theorized that Russ should stay, right? Like that was what we did. We did that podcast. We're like,
I was so pissed.
But when I finally laid up in bed at night, okay, I had the lights dimmed. I might have had a candle on. And I think I came to Jesus on the fact that I needed to remove my love and appreciation for the Russell Wilson that was and start to understand who the Russell Wilson is now. And once I did that, I became out on every everything that is going on there. I think Sean Payton will not be able to do anything with Russ. I think Russ's average depth of target is going to significantly decline, as if it already hasn't. The thing about Russell Wilson is, and yeah, he had the most deep balls out of anybody last year, but they weren't good ones. Great, he was throwing the ball. Great, he was throwing the ball downfield, and I definitely understand that. But watching even in the preseason, it just was not looking great. Adam Trautman is ahead of Dulcich on the depth chart, though. I think that's fodder. I just think that's fodder. And that's okay. Blake, welcome to the pod. I don't know if you've been here, but you haven't been commenting, but here you are. I appreciate it.
Trautman is just a guy from the Saints that Sean Payton was moving over because he was comfortable. But when Dulcich gets on the field and when he produces, Trautman's never, ever produced to the point of what Dulcich has been did as a rookie, ever.
Yep. But I mean, that lends itself to your theory that Sean Payton, who manufactured Jimmy Graham, is going to do anything. Well, I mean, he didn't do anything with Trautman, had Trautman. Exactly. He actually didn't do anything with Trautman so much so that a QB became a tight end just to leverage upside. So I don't think Troutman's going to be anything, but it would be a total Sean Payton thing to kind of clean house if he didn't like Dulcich. I just think that maybe Albert O's tight end won there this year. Who knows, Brandon? Here's the thing. I think he's washed. Russ is washed.
Can have that position, dude. I understand that. I get that. I just feel like last year was so embarrassing for Russ. I want him – I just – Sean Payton's just too good of a coach to allow him to be like that last year.
Well, so let's hope it gets better. Yeah. And because your sure bet is Dulcich. Moving on to my last guy. I think this is an absolute league winner. Absolute sure bet. Absolute number one. A guy that's being drafted not as a top 12 wide receiver, but I think absolutely crushes everything. Now, he's still being drafted rather high, but he's not being drafted in the top 12. And I would be completely comfortable saying that he is top 12. Mm-hmm. I hate Calvin Ridley this year. I can't fathom how Calvin Ridley is wide receiver 15, but Christian Watson has absolutely sure bet potential to be the league winner this year.
True.
Being drafted at wide receiver 21, which I think is insane.
Yeah.
Insane to me. And we talk about target competition at running back, which allows us to have sure bets on guys not in a committee with workhorse potential. We do love that. I don't like Najee Harris because he's just a bad running back, but you can at least select Najee Harris if you were down and out and feel like at least you had somebody with a bell cow potential in some sort of an upside offense. There is no other receiver in Green Bay. We love Jaden Reed. Okay, we love Luke Musgrave. We love the opportunity that those guys may bring to the offense. We love Romeo Doubs. Right? Okay. But that's what I'm trying to say. Now, this year, it seems like not only is Christian Watson going to take a step forward. Well, let me tell you something. Last year, he took a step forward so much so that there was absolutely no other way you were losing the game if you had him. Three touchdowns. Okay. He played in 14 games last year with 66 targets. You talk about somebody that could get 140 targets this year, almost guaranteed. Yep. Right? His average was 14.9 yards per reception. He's a deep play guy, but he's also, in my opinion, going to be heavily targeted like a DeAndre Hopkins. Okay. Mm-hmm. He is going to be the de facto number one. They're going to manufacture targets for Christian Watson. They're going to be feeding him the ball. I think that he could easily start to become this DK Metcalf type of guy for his team, where, yes, his route tree isn't 100% dynamic, but you can't catch him. He's a big receiver where He's yes, Brandon McBroom just commented. Wasn't there a game where Christian Watson dropped three touchdowns? There's going to be probably a lot more. I mean, yeah, the very first play by Aaron Rodgers, I believe, was a drop.
It was a drop touchdown.
Yeah, so it's Jordan Love will only succeed this year if the offense runs through Christian Watson completely.
Yes,
wide receiver 21, easily. Smash. Okay, we're gonna go. Never mind. I'm not going to do that because I love DK Metcalf this year as well. So it's like, okay, would you go DK?
I want to show you Jordan Love's success is pivotally on Christian Watson. When Christian Watson was targeted by the QB rating per target for Christian Watson, the QB was number two. He had a QB rating 123.3 QB rating. So that tells you right there, he's going to be trusted in that offense by the coaches, and they're going to feed the hell out of them because it's going to make life easier for Love, period.
100%. And like you said, the target competition. So what are you going to do to help Love? You're going to feed it to Romeo Doubs? You're going to feed it to Luke Musgrave? You're going to feed it to fucking Zach Kunst or whoever else is fucking there? I forgot who it was, that other rookie tight end they drafted. There's just no other. You're going to feed it to Jaden Reed, a rookie. I mean, we're talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba highly, but is he going to be fed the ball every single pass play? No, absolutely not. Like, so go ahead.
I mean, think about it. All the other second-year wide receivers that we love, Olave, Garrett Wilson. Look at where they're being drafted and look at where Christian Watson's being drafted. That just tells you the value and that you're getting with a Christian Watson with the upside of those guys. Of going, you know, these guys are all going higher because their perceived quarterback situation is a little bit better than Jordan Love, which I kind of disagree with. I think Jordan Love has been sitting waiting in the wakes and they've been working with him. And he's in everything I've seen with him, he looks smooth. He looks like he's calculated. His feet aren't happy feet. He's going through the offense. And I actually have a sneaky suspicion that Jordan Love's going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, you know, the thing about Jordan Love is you haven't seen him with his feet very much. Like that, you haven't seen his rushing upside, which if is there, then hopefully they move the ball down the field. Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon are incredible running backs, an incredible duo to have. To when you need 3-and-1, right? 3rd-and-1. Jonathan Taylor, that's what he's great at. You have a rookie QB like Anthony Richardson who may not be able to pass the ball down the field, but when you need to continue your drive, you rely heavily on your running backs. That's something great that Christian Watson has. Wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4, Christian Watson, that's where he's being drafted right now, and that's why I just think it's an absolute sure bet. I do not see a way where Christian Watson's ADP leaps up a little bit. I can see him being drafted over Keenan Allen. I can see him being drafted over Jerry Jeudy with the Russell Wilson stuff. But Debo, Amari, DK Metcalf, maybe Calvin Ridley's who takes a step back. But it's just so tough. I just think Christian Watson has enough question marks on him with Jordan Love and everything else that I just feel like anywhere you can snap Christian Watson off in your team is a great one. Brandon, I think that's going to be it for us here tonight. Thank you so much for coming on. What's really great is I think this podcast, man, is almost like a coming out for you. I didn't have enough time to do some. I've been burning the midnight oil in my personal life, and you wheeled in and dropped stats on the entire pod, so much so that Clipboard Jesus, I think you had him coming to Jesus on you. Smash that like button. Smash the subscribe button. Get over to DFS Army. They allow us a space to do our thing. Save 25% off of a VIP membership, Core 4 Lite, or NFL only membership with code NFL2023. Brandon, go ahead. Get
one thing for next week, everybody. We got some content that's going to happen next week. I'm going to be drafting in the $350 high stakes NFFC league, going after that $250,000 in Alan Sezlowski's league. We're going to be live streaming that on the 24th, 8 p.m. Eastern, prime time, baby. And then on the following Saturday, we are going to be breaking it all down here on DFS Army with Alan Sezlowski next week.
Yes, that's Alan Sezlowski of RotoWire. SiriusXM Fantasy for Brandon Adam. I am Flex Matt. We are DFS Army. You can win life-changing money. Get your membership with promo code NFL2023. We will see you guys soon. Knowing that diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine.